Hi, welcome to the Left Brain Artist. On this podcast, I will interview an artist and we will talk about their artwork, their techniques, and their business. I've chosen artists you may not be familiar with, but it's my hope that after this, you will look up their website and check out their art. We'll delve into the left side of our brains to find out just how these artistic people find vendors for their art, how do they find buyers for their art, and how do they get teaching opportunities, and also how do they utilize social media to market their art. Today's artist is Jennifer Fisher. Originally from New York, Jen now lives in Boca Raton, Florida, where she paints in acrylics and makes jewelry. After receiving a BFA in interior design and working many years in that field, she connected with a local art school, where she started teaching. Eventually, she developed her own style of painting, incorporating her love of technical drawings with a palette style of painting. Her artwork is now in demand by local museums and galleries. This is Jen Fisher. Welcome, Jen. Thanks for coming. I'm happy to talk to you today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's very nice. I've just met you recently when I saw some of your paintings at a show in January, but I'm going to use a weird phrase, but they just spoke to me. I really, really liked your artwork. So I'm glad to have made your acquaintance and now I get to see more of your art.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's start with where you started with art. Were you an artist and do some creative things when you were young?
You know, a lot of people actually ask me that question and it's kind of hard to remember. It's a long time ago, but, I think I was always doodling and I was always drawing as a kid. I don't remember playing with a lot of dolls. I remember listening to the Beatles and drawing, to be honest. Yeah, I remember my mom giving me her Beatles albums. We had this like blue shag rug and I used to sit on the floor. I used to listen to Hard Day's Night and I used to doodle. And I started looking around for other images of things that I did. And I found I made these little ladybugs for the local, well, it wasn't the local, it was like the Long Island Newsday, Kids Day section. So I was always doing some kind of drawing. And it really only started getting important in high school.
Okay. So did you take art classes in high school? Were they offered?
Just regular art classes. Nothing like they do now. Your regular, you know, PE, art, music, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Favorites. Yeah.
But then you had a creative major in college. What did you do there?
In high school, I did a lot of art. I mean, I was kind of the only, I didn't have a lot of artsy friends. So I was sort of on my own, sort of feeling my way around.
Okay.
But I knew that when it was time to go to college, I mean, my grades were good, but I knew that I couldn't ignore my art. My parents weren't that keen on me going for an art major, but okay. It was sort of hard to ignore. So I sort of started to research schools that had like a good liberal arts foundation and, you know, as backup in case I didn't like it.
Yep.
And,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, just in case. You know, I never changed, but in case it was there, you know, just in case. And I ended up going to University of Massachusetts and majoring in fine arts to start and not really knowing where I was going to go with it. I just sort of I don't know.
Yeah, you just knew you had to. Yeah.
I just knew I had to. I didn't really know where I was going with it, but where, you know, I mean, who really knows what they're doing at 19 years old?
No, but I mean, at least you had the forethought to pick a college that had other choices too, in case you did change.
Well, I was nervous because, you know, the art has this stigma as you never can make any money. It's so hard. It's so competitive.
Right.
But when you know that, I don't really want to use this word, but you know, when you know that you're given a gift, you can't just throw it away.
Yeah.
You can't just not use it. Somehow you have to figure out a way.
Right.
Your life somehow. So yeah. I figured I'd figure something out at some point. So I started out, you know, regular BFA, figure drawing, you know, play, all the basic arts. And it was time to pick a major.
Okay.
And they, you know, it wasn't that long ago, but back then they didn't have a lot of computer graphics, but they offered interior design or they offered computer graphics.
Okay.
I tried to be practical. I said, you know what? This interior design sounds interesting. I knew nothing about interior design. No, actually, I really didn't even have any interest in it, but I was like, I'm going to pick that one. Just, that sounds like fun. I like chairs.
Hey, there have been worse ways people have chosen their majors.
Yeah, exactly. So I was a little blind, but I chose that. And it was interesting. I never loved it. Something was always missing, but I did love the creating, the space planning, the drawing, the presentation renderings. I love rendering. I love drawing. I love my markers. I still love my markers. I still have them. I still have them from college. They still have the sticker, the university store sticker on them.
Oh, that's great.
It comes up to Prismacolor for putting so much juice in those markers that they last for like 25 years.
But, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that part of it I knew I loved. So I went through the motions and I graduated with a design degree. I really didn't know what to do with that. So
did your college give you guidance on how to pursue careers in your major?
Zero.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my college, same thing. Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
I lived in New York and I was in school in Massachusetts.
Okay.
So there was that disconnect. Maybe if I was in Boston or something, it would have been different. But no guidance at all. I was laughing because I was thinking about this, and I literally went through the phone book and just started circling names.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Of architectural firms and design firms, and I just started calling them. I didn't know what else to do. You know, I put a resume together and I started calling them.
Well, good for you.
So yeah. I eventually got a job. Mm-hmm. I moved to the city, and I started this life, you know, of design, and I moved around a couple of different firms, and each one, you know, brought a different set of experiences.
Okay. That was New York City?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did I just say the city? Yeah, I know. I assume that's the only
city. You know, well, you mentioned Boston, so I thought, well, or it could be that.
Yeah, no, New York City. I lived there for 15 years, and it was the right time to do it and a great time.
Oh,
and
good.
A great time to be starting some kind of artistic career, too, because there's so much at your fingertips. Especially
right.
Coming from, I came not from a small town, but I came from a suburban town in Long Island where it was just different, you know? So here I was in the city with all these different firms, all these different opportunities. And, I have this story that I love to tell. So I'm ready, you know, I'm interviewing and I buy like this super, super conservative suit.
Right.
It's navy blue, long past the knee, big gold buttons, pretty ugly. Shoulder pads, you know, but.
I had many of those in my closet. Yeah.
Right. My little wedgy heels, whatever. I look so conservative. And I go and I'm interviewing at this firm, which is a place that everybody wants to work. You know, they, all the hospitality, all the cool restaurants, all the cool, bars in the city. And I'm so excited. I'm in my little portfolio with my suit. And I go in there and I announce that I'm there. And they tell me to go into a waiting room and I sit down and I look at the couch and it's a giant hamburger. And all the pillows are like lettuce and tomato.
Gosh.
And it is so ridiculous, the contrast between me and this outfit sitting on this hamburger that I just start cracking up. I'm just like, oh man, I gotta change, right? You know what I mean? I didn't get the job. I think it was because of the suit, but whatever, but you know.
Well, yeah, you know, I had a degree in accounting and I wore that suit for my interviews and it was completely appropriate, but I think for design artistic, it might be a little different.
Yeah, I don't think I ever wore a suit like that ever again, but it was just so funny because I didn't know, you know, I thought that, you know, I was out getting my first job and,
yeah.
And, but nevertheless, I found work. But
good.
Wear suits and I had an interesting time, but something was never right. Something was always missing with this design career that I chose, and I knew it, you know, because I got so much pleasure from these drawings, more pleasure than I would get from creating a space, more pleasure than I went and it, don't get me wrong, going into a space that you created is amazing, but it's an experience and it's for the at the moment and you leave.
Okay.
And you can't take it with you and you can't, stare at it. I don't know. I get very attached to my artwork. So, you know, you have to leave, you know? So I was like yearning for something smaller, something more tangible, something that, I don't know, something different, but I did it for 15 years. So it didn't, it wasn't as though I made that change that quickly.
Right. But the entire 15 years, you just thought it's not exactly.
No.
No. Okay.
No, yeah. Because I didn't like the technical part. You know, it was very technical.
What do you mean by what was the technical part?
The building part. Like, you know, there was details to be drawn. There was technical things. There were specifications. And not that I don't care. Not that I didn't care how things were being put together. It just, I think my head was exploding with so many new ideas that took up so much time because I'm a perfectionist to get it right would take so much time that okay. I just couldn't focus on it. So it became like a chore, you know? So I knew that this was not going to last forever.
Okay.
But mm-hmm. I still love, you know, I was like that one that they'd be like, oh, Jen, you know, draw us a little sketch of this little vignette, you know, and a little piece of paper. I need to show it to the client and everything. So I was that one that was always doing those little sketches. Never really was that well versed on the computer because I was a little too old, a little too young. You know, I started doing that AutoCAD stuff, but never quite got it.
Okay.
So I still was doing all the hand stuff, which was nice because I think that's dying now.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So at one point you moved to Florida. Did you actively pursue something other than design, or was it your move to Florida that caused you to get out of design? I mean, what happened there?
Well, actually, when I was still living in the city, and okay. I found this great opportunity to work in a design school. And it was like the perfect segue out of that world, but still in it, still using what I knew. And working at this New York School of Interior Design as an academic advisor and a career counselor.
Oh, great.
And yeah, that was, and it was such a lovely place, two lovely people. And I called it my civilized job because all of a sudden I was coming home at 6 o'clock rather than 2 in the morning or 12 or stressed out. And, you know, it was just nice.
Yes.
And I got to help people. And, you know, they had a bunch of different, programs available, some associate's degree, bachelor's, a certificate. So a lot of people came into that school looking for a career change. I ended up counseling them. I don't know how, but I just did. Because they were nervous. You know, they were nervous. And I said to them, you know, creative people should sort of really rethink their life every 10 years because there's a lot to do and there's a lot of mediums and there's a lot of materials and you could just do anything, but you just need to fit it all in.
Yeah, I think the creative people, you know, we're kind of like Renaissance souls where we really have so many careers in us that we can change and we need to pursue them or you do kind of go nuts.
Yeah.
And you need to move on when the feeling is right.
Yeah. And I realized as I was saying this, I kind of didn't really, nobody really told me that. I just sort of said it. And I realized that's sort of what I was starting to do too. I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to use that advice, you know? And I always, like I said, I've always had this need to start creating smaller. So now I had this time because I was no longer working till I was working crazy hours. But I guess everybody does that when they're in their 20s, you know?
Right.
I had time. So I started taking all these jewelry classes. I decided I wanted to explore metal.
Oh,
you know, I wanted to go really small, you know? So I was going from really big to really, really small. So, you know, I started taking these classes around the city, some traditional, some modern, and I started incorporating all these sort of architectural details into jewelry, and I created this line that I sold in the city. I was walking around. I was so enthusiastic about it. I was just like walking into museum stores and sort of peddling my stuff, and they took it, and it was great.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was really, really great, and I still do it. It's just that up came the 10-year mark again. time to rethink. But so that's how I made the transition at design.
Okay.
It was moved, and then I ended up moving down here. And I actually, my son was born in New York before we left. And when I moved down here, it was harder not to be in the heart of everything. I couldn't walk into shops anymore.
Oh,
I couldn't just carry, you know, my portfolio. Not my portfolio, but actually carry the pieces with me. I couldn't just do that anymore. And I had a baby. You know, so everything had to shift.
Yeah, some major changes. Yeah.
Major changes. But, you know, like I say, you know, every door that opens is a new opportunity, but you should never close those other doors because you always got to take those pieces with you, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I came down here, I started making different pieces of jewelry that were more geared towards families and kids. And my son was reciting the alphabet like crazy. So I made this pendant. I don't know. Maybe you saw it at the show of the alphabet. It's all the alphabet. And it's sort of like a modern twist on like a mommy necklace.
Oh, very nice.
Appeal to moms. But it also appealed to other people because it was very graphic. And I started doing less and less jewelry. More and more taking care of the kids, volunteering at school, and doing a little teaching.
Yeah. Okay. So just a different phase in your life.
Yeah. Just a different, yeah. Just kind of worked into my life, you know, sort of worked the art into my life. And then my daughter was born. Started teaching a little bit more.
And you were teaching what at that stage? Was that jewelry classes now?
No, no, just kids. I was doing like art enrichment at Montessori. I did one jewelry class, when we lived in Tampa, but then I didn't do any other ones, but it was a camp for kids. It was a camp.
Okay.
And then here as well, I worked at the Boca Museum of Art, for a summer, and there was a wide range of kids that we were teaching there. So I came up with all these lessons and I just started getting new ideas, new fresh ideas of what I was going to try next, you know?
There you go.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It just sort of just evolved on its own.
Well, you have to be open to that too. I mean, you weren't fighting it. You were just looking at it saying, yeah, my life is a different chapter now, and I'm a mom and I'm busy with the kids. So let's incorporate that into my life. And you accepted it. I mean, a lot of people fight back from the restrictions of being a mom, and they make it harder than it needs to be. I'm sorry, I'm totally generalizing. Moms listening to this are going to say, what do you know? What are you talking about?
No, it's about not being scared. You're right. Yeah. It's about not being scared. It's about having an open mind and accepting whatever you're doing and not being okay with that other part of your life being not over, but done for now.
Right.
You can pick it up at some other time.
Yep.
But that is true. And I think it comes with age. It comes with experience.
Yeah.
Or it comes with just, you know, whatever age it comes, as long as it comes, who cares?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll come as long as you're, like you said, as long as your mind is open, as long as you're okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And at some point you moved over to the east coast of Florida.
Yes.
When was that? Were your kids a lot older or no?
It was just, we were on the west coast for 2 years.
Okay.
And then came over to the east coast, which was more of what I was used to, coming from New York, but still, you know, suburban living. You know, I always laugh. I come from New York City to Tampa with a baby and a station wagon. I was like, whoa, you know, it's very different. Very different. But I dealt with it, you know, because Tampa is a really cool place and St. Pete was really cool. So, I got a creative outlet in those towns. But yeah, so I came here and, I did a summer at the Boca Museum of Art.
Okay.
And I was looking, you know, as I mentioned, I was putting together lessons and I came up with this lesson, you know, because I really had never done, I had never taught a wide range of children. So they had like, you know, 6 up to 14 or something like that. So I was trying to find this for everybody. So I found this lesson on the internet about, painting with credit cards. That was kind of cool. So I called some place and I got them to donate a bunch of credit cards to me, or key cards or hotel cards, you know, like a manual. And I had like a big container and I had my kids test it out first and they made these amazing paintings, scraping and all these colors. And it was really, really pretty. I go, this is cool. I'm going to do this with the kids. And we had a great, great time. We made these big mixed media murals. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try that because that looks fun.
Yeah.
And I did. And my paintings are I paint with credit cards. I don't use brushes.
Oh, that is amazing. And you learned from the kids.
I learned from the kids. I'm afraid of the brush. The brush is floppy. I have no idea what to do with it. I'm not a painter, you know. So I started doing this stuff and. You know, shapes started showing up and things started showing up and I wanted to incorporate, you know, my old life or my new life and I started sketching on things. But yeah, so I have a lot of cards, credit cards. Everybody gives me their credit cards.
Right. So is it acrylic or oil that you paint in?
It's acrylic.
acrylic. So you somehow mix the acrylic painting with cards and scraping it with cards. Yeah. But then you're doing lines that look kind of design architectural. What are the lines done in?
That's a white paint pen.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So I started out not drawing on the paintings. I started out just doing sort of abstract forms because it's kind of all the same as everything I've ever done. It was all about, I mean, I can't say it was really space planning, but it kind of is. You have this canvas and you got to space plan it properly.
Yeah. There's same composition.
Thing. You got to fit it in. You know, it's got to be balanced. It's got to flow. It's the same thing. So I was doing all these abstract things with these cards and, then one of the things that I loved about renderings is my white pencil. I don't know if a lot of people know about this, but this white pencil is like magic. I have a million of them. They're all this tiny, tiny, tiny things. And that's what you always do at the end of a presentation drawing. You put the white pencil in. It gives highlights. It gives shadows. It does everything.
Oh, okay.
So I always loved my white pencil. So I was like, I want to try like a white pen, you know? And I this idea that I wanted to draw over them and see what happens. And it just worked. I don't know.
Oh,
just,
that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you must have found, was it easy to find the perfect white pen or did you try quite a few of them?
Oh, it's not easy at all.
I thought so.
Oh my gosh, it's terrible. And I think you can only use them like twice. You know, I always keep, I don't know, I haven't gotten it right yet. You know, I keep buying new ones when I have to do something important because they don't really last or I can't get the ink out or it's not consistent or something. But
yeah, I hate that when you look at the pen and it looks like there's tons of ink in it, but it's not coming out anymore. Yeah, that's frustrating.
I did buy a bunch of them. Hopefully I'll find out. It seems to be working. So it's not, yeah. I mean, maybe there isn't a perfect one. You know, that's what I kind of coming to realize too. Like, don't get crazy because it's probably not a perfect pen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and a lot of the times I'll sit there and I'll be like, I can't do this yet because suppose I put the pen down and it doesn't work and it's scrapy and it's scratchy. And I'm like, you know what? There is not a perfect pen. Just draw.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it goes.
And is the pen happening after the acrylic is completely dry?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And it happens after I stare at it for a while.
Okay. And you decide what you're going to draw on it.
Okay. Yeah, no, you know, I did, you know, I do, then I'll do some like trace drawings, you know, just to lay out the drawing to make sure it fits within the boundaries and that kind of stuff and do some color studies. I don't know.
I gotcha.
Saw any of those at the show, but yeah, so just some quick sketches to make sure, cause once it, you know, once you put the pen down, it's down.
Yeah.
So I want to put it down in the right place.
Okay. All right. And at what point did you start showing your paintings to other people or showing them in galleries or shops?
So I guess, you know, I don't remember exactly when it was, but maybe it was like 7 years ago or something. So I did this first abstract painting. It wasn't with the pen. It was just like abstract. It was really cool. It was red. I don't know. I loved it. And I saw something, art at the airport. So I'm like, I'm going to send it. And they selected it and I was just like blown away. And that was the first time that my paintings were shown anywhere. It was like, you know, nice groups. I don't know if they do it anymore, but
I don't think they do, but when they did, it was amazing because thousands of people walked by and saw your paintings in the airport. It was such a great show to have it there. And then of course, when you were flying in or out, it was so exciting to walk by and see it.
Yeah, like my husband travels a lot and he would go visit it all the time. But it was, you know, I remember getting that letter. I'm like, wait, what? They're really taking it? I'm like, wow, you know, so, and I knew I should probably, you know, I'm going to continue this for now. Yeah.
Oh, very nice. So that gave you a load of confidence then.
It did. Yeah, it really, really did. It did.
They didn't take small paintings. So how large were you painting at that point?
That one wasn't that, that was like an 18 by 24. It wasn't that big.
Well, that's big for some people. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I've been trying to get bigger. I like the bigger ones, you know, it's a little harder, I think, for me, but I'm trying to get, but I started out on that scale. Smaller.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little bit more manageable.
Okay. And did that show lead to anything else or you must have kind of tapped into the art community just by being part of the Boca Museum and then being part of the airport show.
Yeah. I mean, it took a while, but I sort of, you know, made my way around just kind of reading what was going on and trying out different things. And I got, you know, rejections and accept, you know, both.
Yeah.
Which is normal, you know, and I'd be upset for a day and then I move on.
Very good.
Yeah. You know, what am I going to do?
Yeah. Where were somebody, you? How are you finding the opportunities?
Now it seems to be word of mouth.
Okay.
But prior to that, it was online, and I would just research local call to artists and Palm Beach. I think that the people who put out the art at the airport used to put out a, or maybe they still do, put out an email with different calls to artists. And when I didn't really know anybody, that's how I would find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The Ricky Report, too.
Right. Locally, we have the Ricky Report. I'll put some of these things as links in my show notes so people can find out things for themselves, too.
Yeah.
And
But also just like approaching, you know, just sort of approaching people, too, you know, just like.
Well, it seems like you have a long history of just approaching people and that you've got that down. That doesn't scare you. You seem very comfortable with that because you've done it over and over in any aspect of your career.
I am scared of it. I am. But yeah. I just do it anyway, you know.
Yeah.
And I think the most important thing is to, you really have to be comfortable with what you're approaching with. You have to be comfortable with what you're designing or bringing to the table. You have to love it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I'm a salesperson because I couldn't sell just anything. I couldn't read a script and just sell it. But I really like some things that I do and I want to tell everybody, you know, and I think that shows sometimes. And
I bet.
That they're receptive.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They may not like it. That's fine too. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But, yeah, that seems to work for me. You know, just it worked for me. It's just the enthusiasm or the excitement.
Good.
You know.
I don't know. When you approach them, do you walk in carrying a painting or do you bring photographs or show pictures on a tablet? How do you do that?
I think in the past I was sending emails.
Okay.
Back when I was in New York City, I was actually bringing pieces of jewelry in. I was trying to make appointments and bringing pieces of jewelry, into different, I would sell mostly in like contemporary museum shops, right? Cause I was like zoning in on what would be the right market and the types of designs I had. And I didn't go just any place. I went to the places I could take my things.
Yes. Yeah, so you did a little research ahead of time.
Yeah. Because, you know, somebody who wore very trendy things may not like my work and that's fine. You know, that's not sort of timeless in a way. So I would go to those kind of places.
Mm-hmm.
But for the paintings, I probably just sent pictures.
Okay. So you did it initially with an email and then.
Yeah.
Followed up with a phone call or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if they wanted to see things, I would be happy to bring them in, you know.
Yeah.
And then developing a page. I had a jewelry website. I don't have a painting website. I have a Facebook page.
Okay.
And right now that seems to be working for me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to their Facebook pages more. But then some people are using the website more as a landing page where they say, okay, here are all the things that I can do and here are all the places where you can find me. And then from the website, it'll say, here's my Facebook, here's my Instagram, here's, you know, any of a number of things.
Right. So it leads you to those places anyway.
Yes. Yeah. So I think, you know, there is a segment of the population that just says, wait, I don't do Facebook. And so I think it's important to have a website for those people who are going to see you at a show or something and they just remember your name and they Google your name and, you know, whatever's going to pop up.
Yeah. Sometimes if I have a little, you know, if I have a little free time, I worry that I don't have a website up yet, but then I stop. Because I don't know if I even really need it right now. I don't know.
I wouldn't worry too much because there's so many things and they just inherently make you worry about it. So people will say, oh, well, I've heard of Pinterest. Should I be on that? I've heard of Twitter. Should I be on that? Well, do you use Twitter right now? No. Well, then no, you shouldn't be on Twitter. If you don't already follow people on Twitter, don't force yourself to do it just because you've heard of it.
Right, exactly. And I like Facebook because it's interactive in a way. You know, you can comment, people can talk to you, and I have Instagram as well, and I'm trying to do that as well. And I think it's enough.
Yeah.
For now. I think it's, you know, between, you know, word of mouth and exhibits and that, I think it's enough. I think it's a good way for anybody to get their work out there, their style out there. You know, all you have to do is see sort of one thing. And if you like it, you'll follow that person.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Just
follow them however you want to follow them. I have gotten emails from people who I know are not on Facebook.
Yeah.
I saw your work at Old School Square. I really like it. You know, so I know they're not on Facebook, but they're following me the way they know how to follow me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's important to, on your Facebook, on your about page, put your email, put some way that they can contact you right away. I've been trying to call artists so that I can interview them for this podcast. And some people, I can't find a email anywhere. And so I Facebook message them, and then obviously they don't look at Facebook messages. You know, some people don't. Yeah. So it's hard to know. You know, I just wish there was like a cell phone book where I could just call people, just text them, you know, just because my phone's with me all the time. Just text me.
Yeah.
Are you still actively making jewelry and showing that as well? Or are you really concentrating on your paintings right now?
You know, I'm doing both. But I felt like for this last show that I was in, I needed to make a few pieces and they were really fun. You know, I was really, you know, only like I made like 6 new pieces because I like the diversity, you know, I like the diversity of showing different types. Like I feel every idea can be created in so many different ways.
Right.
As long as as long as you open your mind to it, you think about it. I mean, I could have the same idea. I could do it 20 different ways in the next 20 years. You know, maybe I might do that probably, but I probably will do that. But so I think it's important for me to take that, you know, as I was taking the sketching and incorporating it into the paintings, it was important for me to take the jewelry now and the metal and what I learned there, incorporated into this sort of perspective design, you know, 3-dimensional type of work. Yeah. So I will make as many as I used to, but I will do some because it actually gets painful. It hurts my hands. I got some bad carpal tunnel when I was making jewelry. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Painting is less painful.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Well, right now you have a solo show at the Cornell Museum of Art. How did that come about? How did you get that show? Because that's fabulous. You have paintings and your jewelry there.
Yeah. I have a relationship with the director there for a year or two. She's lovely, and I've had stuff in the gift shop.
Okay.
And I've been participating in their 6x6 exhibit. She's familiar with my work, and she offered me this opportunity for the June slot. I was like, I will take it.
That's great. Yeah, it's quite a large room, and you have the whole room to yourself. How many paintings are there?
I think there are like 15 or something like that.
That's fantastic.
I was checked out for a couple of months. Checked out big time.
Because you were making new pieces?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody got neglected. Yeah. But, you know, you see them in the studio when you're home and they look great. But when you see them up, and especially I have a series that there are 5 together, and obviously it's a big span. They're on a big wall. I could never really put them together. When I was painting them at home, I would just sort of lay them out. But when I saw them up, and I was like, wow, it really worked. You know, like what I thought.
Yeah, really, it looks stunning. I love the 5 pieces together. It looks like a whole streetscape.
Yeah. It was just like one side of the road. I'm like, I'm going to do the other side of the road now. There's a median in the middle, you know, but just to see it come alive like that, it's really cool.
Yeah. It really is good. And I love your use of color because it's kind of sparse on some of the paintings. And yet it has a huge impact because it's just a pop, a wow piece of color on your, and that row, what would you call that greenish color that's on those 5 paintings?
That green is like that green, I don't know, it's like a chartreuse almost, you know? No, I use it all the time. I love it.
Yeah.
It's funny because I was thinking about when I was looking back at my design years. And, you know, living in the city, we always wore black. It was the 90s. Black pants, turtlenecks, shoe, everything was black. And being in those architecture firms, that's just the way you dressed, you know? And I got this new job. Like I said, I had a couple of different places that I worked. And it was this big architectural firm that did really funky projects. And I walk into this office and the walls are chartreuse, orange, red, like, and I just looked around. I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? You know, it's weird. But from that day on, I started to use color. I credit them for that. Because I was in like this neutral state. You know, I did a lot of office spaces and you know, everything was kind of neutral and we didn't really get that crazy. Maybe it was just where I was working or maybe it was just me too, combination.
Yeah.
But, from that point on, I shifted. They made me a free, you know, all these crazy patterned carpets. Everything was bright green and bright orange and made me appreciate it. It made me see them. I don't think I saw them before, you know?
Well, it's amazing where you get your inspiration.
Yeah. Like I say, every step, I take something with every step.
Yep. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? You mentioned the 6x6 show, which is at the same Cornell Museum in July at
this point.
So, and we're talking 6-inch by 6-inch, not 6-foot by 6-foot.
Oh.
So small pieces. How many are you doing for that?
I did 4. I already dropped them off.
Okay.
They're really cute. They're very bright too.
Yeah.
Like rainbow. Yeah. But that's a lovely show. I just love seeing that mosaic of all this talent. You know, it's just so beautiful and affordable for everybody. A lot of people didn't know about it. And a lot of my friends that are not art followers love coming to that because like I can get, you know, a really great piece for $30, you know?
Right. Yeah. Every 6x6 piece is $30, correct?
Yeah, every 6x6 is $30.
That's great. Yeah. And so that starts July, what date?
I believe the exhibit opens on the 6th, I think. Don't quote me, but the sale is on the 20th. The sale is on the 26th of July.
Oh, okay. So they have it, they have it exhibited and then they don't want you buying them all right at the beginning. So
right,
at the end of the month.
Remembering so you can go in there like, well, the people go in there like vultures.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's great. It's so fun.
Well, how does that work? Do you just grab it off the wall?
I think that, you know, they give them wristbands and like you get like a different color wristband and then one group goes in at a certain time and they put a dot on it and you hope that you get the first group because if you don't, somebody might put a dot on yours.
Oh.
And you go, second group goes in and then maybe you have a second choice, but it's fun. It's just fun.
Yeah, that does sound fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm, you know, that's where I am. I haven't gone past that yet.
Yeah. Okay.
Summer, I always sort of think of the holidays. So I'm starting to think about, cause I like to make smaller things for the holidays. I do small little mini canvases as ornaments for
holidays.
You know, I make, for the Christmas tree, I make Hanukkah ones too. I make all these different little ornaments. They're all sort of minis of my paintings.
Okay.
Some of Christmas trees, you know, so.
Yeah. I think I saw some of those at the Continuum Gallery last January.
Yes.
And
I'll probably be making some jewelry for the holidays too. So that's for, I'm sort of relaxing a little bit and thinking about that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if this is part of what you do, but do you still try to put some paintings up in New York City? Do you pursue anything up there? Long distance?
I have not. Well, I haven't. I've been approached a little, but I just don't really know how to get them. You know, so I think that is something I'm going to pursue. I'm not really sure about.
Like the logistics.
Yeah. Like how does it really work, you know? I'm not really there yet, but I do have, some ideas and some people that have had interest in my work and maybe doing something. Just, I can't quite figure out how to do that.
Yeah. Yet. Maybe do a bunch of 6x6s. Easier to ship.
Yeah. And, yeah, right now though, you know, it's like so much easier though, like just to go in, you know, it's hard when you're off site.
Yeah.
I realize that, you know, people think that living in New York is so scary and so not unapproachable, but it's not because it's not.
But people are scared of it. My son lives there now, so I'm starting to go up and visit him on weekends and, it took me, you know, the second solo trip to be confident enough to use the subways by myself and, you know, that was, that's a big deal for a Florida girl.
Yeah, no, it is a big deal. Yeah. Even I don't really even love the subways. I stopped, you know, I started going above ground and taking the bus after a while.
Yeah.
but when you have that access, it's easy.
Yeah.
You're just not scared.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think you definitely brought your New York roots down here because you don't seem to be scared to try anything down here.
I hope that's what I don't know, but maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I guess.
Yeah. Well, good. Is there anything else you want to talk about that we haven't touched on?
I don't know. Really, I think did we touch on everything?
Yeah. We kind of did. Let me look back at my notes real quick.
It all connects. That's what the main thing, it all connects.
It really does, yeah.
Are you
doing any teaching at all now?
I do, actually. I have some private students that come to me. I teach them perspective drawing because I love
great.
Yeah, I don't know why, I just do. I just love it. And little ones, some little ones, some middle schoolers, but yeah. They're on vacation, so they're not here, but that's what. So just, you know, a little bit, you're manageable. Maybe I'll take it to another level at some point, but I don't know. Not right now. Yeah. Now I'm thinking about holiday.
Right. Yeah. You're onto the next thing. When you teach, is it from your home or do you use another venue?
No, I use it from my home.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah.
Get them right up, you know, so sometimes. My kids will join. Sometimes they won't. If they're going to be disrupted, they get sent to their room. If they like what they've lessened, they can come, you know. But,
Yeah.
I just, you know, I don't know. I like the older kids too that are enthusiastic. You know, they're into it.
Yeah,
it's nice,
I bet.
Nice having an idea and having it come to life on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And like I said, able to take it with you. That's the big deal. That's why I couldn't. That's why I needed to do something. I needed to take it with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I needed to be able to hold it. I don't know. I get attached. I'm not as attached anymore now. I'm okay with selling, but in the beginning I was very attached.
Until you get your first sale and you say, ooh, that was pretty nice.
I can do that again. You can have it.
Yeah. That's great. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you, Jen. I really love getting to know you more and I love seeing your paintings. They really look spectacular at the museum right now.
Thank you. I'm enjoying being there, and I'm really excited to see where it's going to lead now.
Yeah, well, good. Yeah. And I look forward to seeing more of your jewelry. I'll have to go back to the museum and see that alphabet one a little more up close.
Yeah. And look at it and just hear my son reciting the alphabet all day long. I'm like, wait, I'm gonna write that down. Say it again.
That's great. Yeah, well, yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Left Brain Artist Podcast. I hope you enjoyed hearing Jen Fisher talk about her art. Here are some takeaways from this episode. Number one, don't be afraid to email and approach galleries about showing your work. Number two, any degree you have, no matter what it is, can be used to help your business or inspire your art. Jen uses her love of technical drawing from her time in interior design as a component in her paintings. Number three, Jen was also inspired by kids painting with credit cards to try that with her acrylic paintings. Get involved with teaching if you need some new art inspiration. Number four, search for calls to artists to find art shows you can apply for. Number five, develop relationships with gallery owners. They may just ask you to display your art. No applying necessary. Number six, paint or make art in a series when creating many pieces to go together in a gallery show. And number seven, consider showing different types of your art in one show. Jen included jewelry pieces in her gallery show of paintings, and they look quite good with them. Thank you for listening to the Left Brain Artist Podcast. On Friday in my bonus business episode, I will talk about calls to artists. What are they, where can you find them, and how you can increase your chances of being accepted into a show, so be sure to check out that episode. I've written many calls to artists and curated many shows, so if you want to get your artwork seen, Friday's episode is not to be missed. I'm Suzanne Redman. See you next time.